what many of us as parents do, I want to be Judge Randy. So I walk in and I'm saying, come on, parents, how many of you have done this? Okay, who started this? I did. I am so sorry, Dad. I'm clearly not filled with the Holy Spirit today. And I am repenting to you and God, and I hope that you'll discipline me as I need to be disciplined. That isn't what they do. He did. It's his fault. She started it. And so parents, that's one thing we need to do is stop asking stupid questions, too, of our kids. Like,
from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, the founder and president of the Intentional Living Center and your advocate for the family. Today marks the final day of Randy's series, What's Behind the Misbehavior? Now, to help you be intentional for your kids, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. I have to smile because we do ask our kids kind of silly questions sometimes, but we want to talk to our kids. But you know what? At the end of the day, your children need to know what our values are, and then we need to be intentional and willing to follow through, to have that kind of intentionality as a parent that helps us follow through. So we're going to be wrapping up these 3 days on What's Behind Misbehavior, recorded at a conference with about 1,400 people, parents, single parents, couples, young and old, those who have been parents for a while, those just getting started. And we'll continue to talk about how do we parent up and power down and deal with sibling rivalry and disrespect. So let's go to day three, What's Behind Misbehavior. So the first level is this sense of belonging by performance, okay? So number one reason that kids will attempt to try to get you to pay attention is through performance. And if their performance doesn't get your attention, they go to the next level, which I call a power up. You got kids who power up on you? Powerful kids. Throwing tantrums? Sibling rivalry? Disrespect? They're fighting over a toy. You know, you got kids, if we get sibling rivalry, how much sibling rivalry do we have here? Kids fighting with each other. All right. This is, as one counselor, I think it was Kevin Lehman made the statement, that sibling rivalry is an act of cooperation. They're working with each other. Do you ever notice sometimes the sibling rivalry disappears when grandma's there? Or disappears when dad's there? It's for your benefit. It's a powerful way that they cooperate to demand that you're paying attention to them. It could be fighting over a toy. It could be anything at all. And what many of us as parents do, I want to be Judge Randy. So I walk in and I'm saying, come on, parents, how many of you have done this? Okay, who started this? I did. I am so sorry, Dad. I'm clearly not filled with the Holy Spirit today. And I am repenting to you and God, and I hope that you'll discipline me as I need to be disciplined. That isn't what they do. He did. It's his fault. She started it. And so parents, that's one thing we need to do is stop asking stupid questions, too, of our kids. Like, so what happens with sibling rivalry is the power-up parent, they solve the problem for them by powering back up with the child. If you're powerful, I'll be powerful. I'll walk in and solve your problem. Some of you grew up in homes where you never learned how to solve problems. You never learned how to get along, relate, solve problems, work things out. Everything was solved for you, either through intimidation or whatever it may be. In the process, you didn't learn how to relate. That's one of the beauties in our home. We should have a little sibling rivalry. We can learn to work things out and resolve things. So the powerful parent will work it out for them, and the permissive parent becomes very inconsistent. Yo-yo, up and down. Do it this way, do it that way. Or will ignore the powered-up kind of behavior. Where an intentional parent will walk in and discipline both children. Well, that's not fair. It's all Billy's fault. I'm telling you, Billy might be 90% the fault, but I'm telling you, that little junior there, he's got 10% of his stuff in that action. He knows what button to push to get things going. And if you walk in and simply say, hey, I don't know who started it. I don't care who started it. either go into your rooms or I'll put you in a room together until you work it out. No blood, no killing each other, nothing like that. No swearing, but you work it out. When you got it done, come back out and you can be at the table. If you're fighting at the table, you guys can be dismissed. When you're done, you can come back. In other words, leaving it in their court, holding them accountable, being intentional. I promise you, if you do that consistently over an extended period of time, it'll change that behavior. So you got disrespect. You got kids who are disrespectful. Let's say you got any eye rollers? Kids who roll their eyes at you? And what happens with a powerful parent, when the kid rolls their eyes at you, okay, we get right back into their, you do not do that to your father. Do you know who I am? Veins sticking out on my neck. I am the authority in this home. You can make them sit down, but they're standing up on the inside still. Right? You can be very powerful. Or what happens with the inconsistent or the permissive parent is they ignore it or they start preaching at them. Jesus doesn't like you when you talk to me like this. And I'm not real thrilled about it either. Both of which are true, by the way. But that's probably not the very moment to talk about that. So you got this disrespectful child, okay? You got the child who says, I'll give you an example. You got the child who says, they're driving the car. They're 16 years old. They got a driver's license. And you say to them, here's the deal. You can use the car, but until you're 17, you don't have anybody in the car with you. And all of a sudden, you find out they had somebody in the car with them. So what do you do? You know, you can get on their case. You can yell at them. Or the permissive parent can say, well, if you'd promise not to do it again. Absolutely, Mom. Never again. I'm so bad. I don't know what got into me. Where the authoritative parent simply says, hey, I'm using consequences. Your best ally are logical, natural consequences. Consequences that are either part of life, like if you don't eat, your tummy gets hungry, or logical consequences that if you choose to be disrespectful of use of the car, which is a major responsibility, you lose the car. Keys are gone. But here's what we do, parents. Here's where we make mistakes as Christian parents many times. Is in the process of using a logical consequence, we're wagging our finger in their face. And then it becomes personal. That's just the way life is. Life's not fair. It's just the way it is. You know, I mean, if you're not responsible, it's a choice you made. You don't have to get into their case. You don't have to get angry. You just let the reality of the moment be the teacher. I can remember when our kids were young, when we were just little kids, I tried to use incidents in life. You know, you ever drive down the road and you see a flat cat? Didn't used to be flat, but he's flat now. That's a teachable moment. Look at the flat cat as we go by. He must have run out in front of traffic. Or you go by an accident. You used to say to the kids, I wonder if somebody was drinking. Just starting to teach. Think about, this is what happens in life. See? This is reality. This is being intentional.
This is Intentional Living with Dr. Randy Carlson. In just a moment, Dr. Randy presents the next part of his teaching. Today's teaching is just part of a larger study provided to help you be an intentional parent. Find out more about the entire study and how you can get a copy for yourself. Go to theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours 1-888-888-1717 and press option 4.
Has anyone ever challenged the realness of your faith? Challenged you about the Bible? or America's Christian roots? Well, Intentional Living Center has planned the perfect vacation for you and your family this October. The Intentional Living Washington, D.C. tour will take you on historian-guided tours, giving you the true story behind Washington's most iconic sites. And your faith will be affirmed and strengthened as you visit the brand new 430,000 square foot Bible Museum. You'll also join Dr. Randy Carlson and other listeners to pray for our nation and its leaders. October will be here before you know it, so register now at theintentionallife.com/Washington. That's theintentionallife.com/Washington.
Hey, I've got a tip for you if you want to raise a responsible adult.
From the Intentional Living Center, this is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Dr. Randy Carlson, founder of Intentional Living.
You know, raising a responsible adult comes down to a principle. In fact, it's one of the intentionals for parents from our Intentional Living Center. And it says, I will not do for my children what they can do for themselves. But when I do, I disrespect them. You know, we want our children to grow up and have confidence and independence. We want them to explore the strengths and weaknesses of their life, but ultimately to become responsible human beings, people who grow up and love God and know who they are in Christ. To raise a responsible adult, you can do it, but don't overdo it as a parent. For Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Today's teaching from the Intentional Living Center is available to you with our thanks for your gift to the ministry. The teaching includes not only what you heard on the radio today, but all sessions for this entire study. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. Now let's get back to Dr. Andy as he continues today's teaching.
All right, so they power up. If you got kids and you power up with them, you're going to lose. Let's go down to the next level. If your kids don't get attention through power, tantrum, sibling rivalry, disrespect, then they go to the next level. This is scary, parents, and some of you have been there, maybe there now. They start to pay you back. Because you're not paying attention to them. They lie to you. They steal from you. They take on self-destructive behavior, promiscuity, drugs, gangs, taking money from your wallet, doing the things that are really scary. And what you're feeling as a parent is you're feeling really hurt at this point. If they're powerful, here's how you can tell which level you're at in this deal. If you're feeling annoyed, it's that performance level. They're annoying you. If you're angry, they're at the powerful level. If you're hurt, you're down at this level we call revenge, or in this case, they're trying to pay you back. And what a powerful parent does is they start to threaten. They get on the case of the kid. They start telling them. They make threats, idle threats that they don't intend to follow through with. If you do this again, here's what I'm going to do. And they get on the case. The permissive parent will often make excuses, will minimize, will wring their hands in worry, fret, fear. And what an intentional parent does at this stage is, first of all, they're on their knees in prayer. A lot of prayer. But they're also realizing that they have to have a game plan. If you're at the level where you've got a child who's hurting you because of their behavior, paying you back, because they feel they have a right to pay you back, makes no logic to you, but they feel they have a right. You have to learn to set consequences, work with them on regaining trust. You may need counseling. This is a point where I recommend you really seek some counseling, get some more professional help. And then there's one more level. If kids get through this stage, they go to the stage of they pull away because they don't feel worthy. You may have kids today, and here's what you're feeling. You're feeling absolutely lost. I don't know what to do with my kid. He can't keep a job. He gives up. He starts projects and stops them. And at this level, what they're saying is to you is, I don't feel adequate any longer. I don't know where I fit in. It's a scary point. And for the powerful parent, you'll often become angry. For the permissive parent, you don't know what to do, so you give up. And this is a time where you need to pray a lot. You need to really be seeking God a lot and allowing Him to do a work in your life. Does that make sense? Is this helpful? Are you finding some things that you can apply to whatever the situation is? Here's the takeaway, the overview of this. There's a purpose for your child's misbehavior. It's to get your attention and to feel useful in life. Isn't that why we misbehave? Come on, we just do it in adult version. Because we want to somewhere or other feel like we have some meaning, some purpose. And people will do the most silly, stupid, self-destructive things just trying to fit in life. It's either going to be through performance. You got the funny people in your life, comedians. You know, the comedians in life, it's interesting. When you study comedians, some of them are the loneliest, depressed, saddest people. And I know a lot of comedians, traveled with them, and when they come off the platform, they're not the same people that are on the platform. But they get their attention from being the funny person. Any of you school teachers have the funny kids in class, the attention-getting behavior. They're looking for that attention. They want to fit in, but the only way they can fit in is being funny. So you've got this performance level, and as parents, you're either going to be powerful, permissive, or intentional. And intentional is simply having a logical, natural consequence for behavior that's not appropriate. But we have performance. If children don't feel like they're getting the right kind of, and adults as well, of attention, it goes to this power-up behavior. This happens in our marriages, too. You ever feel like you're married to someone who powers up on you? You know, you're trying to resolve something, and boom, the power-up is a way of controlling the situation. They probably learned to do that in the home they grew up in. They saw that from their mom or their dad. Power up to control a situation, so that's the only way they know how to respond for them. If that doesn't work, then it goes to this level of paying you back, which is revenge, which is a hurtful stage in parenting. Lying, stealing, self-destructive behavior, again, having consequences. Or they completely give up and pull away. And in the process, that is very hurtful. Now, session two. You got your little book out again? Session 2, page 8. Let me read what I wrote here. It can be annoying when your child wants your attention. That's the performance level. It's frustrating when they demand your attention. That's the power-up level. It's hurtful when they force your attention. That's when they're paying you back through revenge. But it's downright scary when your attention no longer seems to matter. That's when your child is displaying complete inadequacy and giving up. So let me give you three things you could do. I will intentionally engage with my children each day for the next month. Every day, you just intentionally set a time. Or, I will not be disrespectful with words or actions toward my children or my spouse. Listen, disrespect has no place in our homes. And we can be disrespectful by expecting too much or expecting too little. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that fathers are not to exasperate their children, but bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And one of the ways we exasperate our kids, Dad, is we expect too much or expect too little, or we're disrespectful in the home. Here's another one thing. I will intentionally pray a blessing over my children each day. I tell you, you can't be praying for your children every day and have the same attitude about parenting. Can't do it. Take a minute. Write one thing. We've talked about these areas. One thing that would make the biggest difference in the next 30 days if you were to do it in your home, based on what we just shared in the last half hour here. Write it down for yourself. Okay, what'd you write down? Quickly. Just shout out something. What's that? Stop repeating yourself. Okay. That was just too classic there. I'm sorry, I didn't intentionally do that, by the way. That ear's not working. Okay, what else? Be consistent. Pray a blessing. Okay. Acknowledge it. Hey, boy, I can see that's really paying off, that extra work. That's good. All right. Huh? Quality time. All right. follow routine. Let me encourage you, as you think about the one thing, even make it more specific. Quality time. Good. Write it down. Say, okay, here's the one thing I'm going to do. 15 minutes every day, 20 minutes, or whatever. To be very specific with what you're intending to do. Because if you don't, you'll leave here, I promise you, and you won't have made a commitment to yourself. To write down one thing that's realistic for you to do in the next 30 days. All right, we're back here in our Intentional Living studio. And as you were hearing the end of this three-day series, I always ask people, what's your one thing? What's that one thing that you will do, you can do, you promise to do, you commit to do in your life? And you get a chance to hear some of those. If you have one thing as a result of what you've heard, let us know. And we'd love to hear your story. And our comment line is always busy. People sharing stories, questions, and comments. I thought we'd share a couple with you right now.
Hi, my name is Bethany, calling in from Clovis, New Mexico, and I wanted to share what I've learned about myself and being a parent. I would say I've learned that it's best not to talk in frustration and anger when your children are being children and you find yourself losing it. It's best to stop speaking at that moment and take a break, and then do the correction later, because when you correct out of anger, you end up embarrassing yourself. I've also learned that it's all about being selfless. There's really no room for selfishness in parenting, and once you get past the idea of wanting to, you know, do what you want to do, you find yourself getting a lot less stressed out and a lot less upset with the bumps that come along, and you're more at peace. And, you know, it really shows your children a lot of love when you want to just be servant. And I think those are the two biggest lessons I've learned being a parent. Thank you so much for being a blessing in my life. Have a great day. Bye.
Well, thank you for sharing that. You know, there's a biblical basis for what you said there first about not parenting out of anger and frustration. The Apostle Paul mentions it in Ephesians. He does again in Colossians, where he says to dads, but it also includes moms, parents, don't exasperate your children, he says, but bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And there's many ways that we can exasperate our children, and one of the ways is to be angry and frustrated. Sometimes it's to be too absent as well. So that's good advice. All right, I think we have another comment here.
Dr. Randy, I called you, I think. My name is Patsy. No, I know I called you. My name is Patsy, and I live in Arkansas. I used to be a screamer. I hollered, and I screamed, and I carried on. And then one day I noticed that my sister-in-law never raised her voice much above a whisper when she talked to her children. And the amazing thing was her children always heard her. But the more amazing thing is my children heard her. So I decided one day to give that a try. And so I started talking very softly, maybe too softly, who knows. But I got a lot of, what did you say? Did she say something? But it didn't take long for it to catch on. And I found that I had no more reasons to holler because guess what? The softer I talked, the more they listened because they had to or they'd miss something. So, but I love your program. I listen to it. I contribute to it and keep up the good work. Thank you much. Be blessed. Bye.
I like you, Patsy. You're right on the beam. Roll it, Steve. And again, just like Bethany earlier, she shared something that's very biblical. In fact, we had chapel this morning with the staff, and I read from Ecclesiastes 9:17, where it says that the quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. And that's not necessarily a parenting verse, but it could be, because children tend to respond to the level, their volume. You know, as you go up, they go up. As you come down, they're going to pay more attention. During this political season, maybe that verse fits as well. Just a thought. Hey, listen, if you have a story, tell us how you're being intentional. Love to hear it. 888-888-1717.
Hi, this is Dr. Kevin Lehman with advice on how you can become an intentional parent. One of the battlegrounds for many kids and parents is church attendance. When a kid gets to a certain age, they are feeling their oats and feel like they can just look mom and dad in the eye and say, I'm not going to that church anymore. Well, what's a parent to do? What do you do with a 12, 13-year-old kid who says, I don't want to go to church anymore? Well, there's a couple ways you can do it. You can look them straight in the eye and say, honey, listen, I know you don't like church. church. I appreciate what you said about the pastor's message just last Sunday. I didn't care for it either. But I'll tell you the truth, as a family, we don't ask you to do a lot of things in life, do we? But going to church is one of those things. So with all due respect, get ready. We have to leave in about 20 minutes. Now, that's one way of handling it. There's another way of handling it, and that is, hey, don't even wake them up. Don't even wake them up. Go to church some Sunday. Make it a day. Come home at 5 o'clock. Oh, my goodness, what's going to happen when you come through the door? Where you been? Where you been? Been at church. Church! Church is over at noon. It's 5 o'clock. When are we going to eat around here? I'm starved. Oh, that strawberry pie just finished me off. Don't even mention food. Don't even mention food. See, there's more than one way to skin the proverbial cat, isn't it? But you know what? The bottom line is, you can make your kids go to church. But you can do it in a fun way as well. Jesus never beat anybody over the head. So don't pick off where he left off.
Hey, that's Dr. Kevin Lehman with more humor and wisdom and insight on parenting. He's bringing all of that from his best-selling book, Making Children Mind Without Losing Yours. You've probably heard that. Maybe you've read it. It's been read by hundreds of thousands of people over the years. And Dr. Kevin Lehman is bringing all that wisdom along with me to the Hope for Your Home. We're going to call it Hope, Help, and Humor for Your Home, I guess, tour. Kevin and I, our reunion tour. We're going to be in Albuquerque on Saturday, April the 7th, if you haven't heard, at Hoffmantown Church, and then in Glendale on Saturday, April 21st. Love to have you come out. It's going to be a marriage and parenting conference where you're going to laugh and learn, and I promise you're going to take some things away that'll be transformational for you and for your family. Just go to theintentionallife.com to find out and get your tickets for the Hope for Your Home series with Kevin Lehman and me. Go to theintentionallife.com. Also, I want to say thanks to those of you who are supporting the ministry. God bless you. You mean a lot to us. We can't do this. I mean, we've got a great message and hope for people, and you hear the testimonies of people's lives being impacted by the message, and your support's making it possible. So not only are you supporting the ministry to keep us going, but we're here to help you too. And if you're not a member, you belong here. The doors are open for you today, and we'd love to have you come and join us. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. You've heard that address many, many times, theintentionallife.com. There's a donate button there. Click on it, and you can sign up. And when you do, listen, we're going to get you the new member kit in the mail to say thanks. Two of my books from Intentional Living, The Power of One Thing and Star for Affection, and then ongoing teaching each and every month, just as a way of saying thanks. Just go to theintentionallife.com, okay? Hey, by the way, have you heard of Bart Millard? Well, yeah, maybe. Well, you've heard of Mercy Me, haven't you? Well, he's the lead singer of Mercy Me, and he's going to be my guest tomorrow right here at the Intentional Living Center, where we're going to bring a lot of encouragement for your family. He didn't receive that growing up. What a powerful story, but it's going to be encouraging to you to see the impact you as a dad or a mom can have on your kids. It'll be a very encouraging time. Bart Millard of Mercy Me right here at Intentional Living tomorrow. We'll see you then.